I am joined now by a very special guest, Dean Haglund. Hey, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here. How are you?
I'm going very well, Dean. Now, now we had the genesis of science fiction literature, and ever increasing amount of the general public have been critical of the genre, complaining about spaceships, jetpacks, and time travel being unrealistic.
What?
I know. It's but The X-Files is one of those science fiction shows.
Well, okay, you say that, but Chris Carter once called me and said, I don't want you doing science fiction conventions because he doesn't consider The X-Files science fiction.
So what does he consider The X-Files to be?
Science probability.
Science probability.
Yes, that's what he called it. The genre. X-Files was its own genre of science probability television.
Turning science fiction into science reality.
Well, as many of the guys at NASA, once they watched Star Trek, they wanted to get into space exploration. And sure enough, they made a tricorder, and all those equipment things that they had on the Enterprise now work at the International Space Station. So,
now, I believe one of the things about The X-Files was the big thing was that it was kind of sort of set in situations where you could believe what was happening, right? So it was set in a very realistic kind
of
setting.
Absolutely. Try to make it as realistic. Weird monsters of the week and UFO phenomena and all that in most real
setting. Area 42
setting.
Or 52. 51. That was close.
Yeah, I know. I'll get you up to speed on the conspiracy talk.
And so speaking of The X-Files, why do you think The X-Files managed to capture people's imaginations so well? I mean, if it's getting rebooted, there's obviously been a huge public support for
Well,
that.
Absolutely. And the ratings were amazing here in Sydney, too. Why did it get so much? Well, that's a good question. Because, you know, it really caught a funny moment there in the late 90s where you had the Berlin Wall that came down and there was a Israeli peace accord, and you had this moment, some space in our psyche to suddenly go, oh yeah, what if there's UFOs and what if there's a paranormal phenomena? And so it had a perfect spot in our history of the world, sort
so
of thing.
We can stop worrying about global unrest and start going back to suspecting our own governments.
Exactly. And so, yeah, now you had the don't trust your own government, then all of a sudden 9/11 happens, and then, you know, all these wars, and suddenly nobody can go into that headspace without being deemed unpatriotic or some sort of crazy terrorist thing.
And so going back, I mean, obviously things have changed since the 90s. It's now it's now 2016.
Right.
So how do you think society's perception of science fiction, or not even science fact?
Yeah, well, there's a funny, it seems now to be more embraced, science fiction, in terms of also using art and creative ways of solving problems and future, you know, the whole idea of like, how are we ever going to get to Mars? Well, it's going to take a lot of creative ideas, including they've hired James Cameron to think of how to do landing vehicles and all that sort of thing. So he's, you know, here's a director, an artist, a writer, and he's predominantly involved in our future colonization of another planet. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, actually, talking of science or fiction movies, like we had The Martian and Interstellar and all these movies that kind of are trying to become really scientific and take all these facts and work them into it.
Yeah,
Do you think that this new X-Files series is going to be doing that as well?
Yeah, for sure. Chris Carter is a brilliant writer, and he spent 13 years traveling the world. He's a major surfer. He's been free swimming. He's rock climbing. So he's had a lot of experiences, and he's been not just sitting at home, you know, watching sports. He's actually been in the world, in the thick of it. So I think he's come back with a lot of ideas and a lot of those things that are going to percolate through The X-Files just the way they did in the 90s.
Now just look at your own involvement in the series. So how are you a part of X-Files?
Well, there was three of us, and we were called the Lone Gunmen, and we were computer hackers that Mulder and Scully came to all the time, and we had even our own spinoff called the Lone Gunmen. And I, like you, had long hair, and I wore glasses similar to yours. You're almost like a Langley. Do you realize that? You're almost like my character in complete look. And then I wore Ramon's T-shirts.
So I'll audition for the new series. Then.
Yeah.
So see if I can get in.
Well, yeah, except they're bringing me back already. I'm sorry.
I can be the time-shifted version.
Totally.
I can be the young Spock.
The young Spock, exactly. When we go through that parallel warp. I don't know if we do that in The X-Files, but good... Good effort there. So there were three of us, and then we were supposedly, in air quotes here, killed off, but you never saw our bodies in the coffin. So I can't explain how we show up in this new series. The
spoilers.
Six episodes. Yeah, I signed a non-disclosure agreement, and they listened to every
radio.
They're tapping us right now.
Right now, exactly.
The FBI is on us right now.
Exactly. That's
everyone
sad. Damn it. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
And so what was your own personal favorite part? Like, what was the thing about X-Files that really, like, excited you in the original series?
Well, you know, it was really the ideas that presented, because, you know, the writers, Frank Spotnitz, Vince Gilligan, who went on to do Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, that was his very first TV show he worked on. And when you went into Vince's office, normally, you know, Hollywood writers would have How to Write a Screenplay, 100 Best Movies, like all the regular books. Vince's office was The Ancient Rites of Mithra and 22 Unknown Things About Branding. You know, like weird just books. He had such an eclectic library that I was like, oh, yeah, these are why these really phenomenal ideas, these really unique things that aren't talked about in any other TV show are coming up in The X-Files. And so I think that's what I appreciate it most, just actually reading the scripts, even the ones that I wasn't in, would have such a fantastic amount of intellectual thought behind it.
So just putting in all this other influences that the other shows, even though they're like aliens and, you know, spaceships, don't really have.
Yeah, yeah, because some of them would be like, oh, we're just going to gun these things down, or, you know, what's that one where it's just a constant war between the aliens and Noel... Noel Wiley's?
There's a lot that have constant wars.
Yeah, it's just a constant war with aliens.
Like, we're fighting aliens, they're fighting us, we hate each other.
We hate each other, and it's a fight to the survival, and we're, you know, stuck under a rock as we shoot these things. And you're like, well, you know, I guess that's dramatic, but ultimately, it's kind of, you know, if there is aliens, I'm hoping it's not going to be just a constant war, that maybe there'll be some sort of back and forth, you know, passing of intellectual ideas or something like that, one would hope.
And in terms of, like, fiction and fantasy series that have been in the intervening years, we've had things like Harry Potter and Game of Thrones. How do you think those change what audiences are going to be expecting from this kind of show?
Well, for sure your production values, because these things are like epic movies, right? And so
talk about James Cameron.
Talk about James Cameron, you know, so everybody's game has to be stepped up. And because of all the digital effects, you know, that's made cheaper now, so your budgets aren't careening through the roof quite yet. But I think all of that actually started with The X-Files, because that was Chris Carter's thing, too, was that we're going to make each one of these like a mini feature film. We're going to break our back to make it the highest production values we can possibly do in the budget that we have, in the amount of time that we have. And so you see Game of Thrones and you see all these things in TV series that are epic storylines and arches, you know, plot arcs that go on forever. And so I think that's going to reflect back in the new X-Files for sure.
Right. And so speaking of, again, like perceptions of sci-fi that are changing, do you think that people really are, like, moving forward, are we going to be wanting more sci-fi? Do you think people are now seeing kind of the possibilities and different things that can be offered?
I think it's being taken more seriously than it was before. You know, it's not the cheesy Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Exterminate.
Exactly. I am Gortok from the planet Blowlaws, you know, whatever, all of that. So it's kind of like now that our science exploration has gone out, we've touched down on numerous other planets, we're taking that science, bringing it back in, and then extrapolating from that. So it's not just, oh, hey, there's crazy things out there, let's make a stupid set, you know, of foam rubber and tinfoil suits and all that sort of thing. It's become a lot more thought-driven on how, you know, like gravity. How do you survive in space if all your life-sustaining equipment is busted by meteor debris, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, that kind of thing, I think, is going to see a lot more in science fiction, not just in movies, but in television and other art forms.
And I guess also just moving a little bit away from The X-Files, what other kind of sci-fi things are you excited about coming up, apart from obviously the rest of the X-Files season?
Yeah, there's a new series that I heard about. It's called Other Space. Have you seen this?
I haven't, no.
It's the guy who did Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah?
And then directed Bridesmaid, Paul Feig. And he's on Yahoo TV, so it's online. And I think you have to... you know, tunnel to the U.S. to get it. But
they're totally legal methods.
Totally legal methods. Yeah. Virtual private network. Anyway, it's a hilarious... It's actually a comedy about an inexperienced crew on a spaceship that gets ripped through a wormhole and they're lost in a whole nother planetary dimension trying to get back to Earth.
Two and a half jumps.
Two and a half jumps, exactly. And so, yeah, the crew is really hilarious, and they all have these weird quirks. And every episode, it's like a little half-hour sitcom, but a sci-fi sitcom.
And they're really trapped in each other's company.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so they all have to get together, and it's got Joel Hodgson, who did Mystery Science Theater 3000. So he's in it. It's a really funny name. It's like, it's really a really funny show. So I'm excited about that one. I think it makes my top 10 TV series for 2015 for sure.
Excellent. And I just one other thing is, with X-Files, are we expecting to see any more X-Files related things coming out?
Well, here's the thing that I just read, and I assumed, and that was the chatter over on set, is everything was looking so spectacular that the executives at Fox suddenly went, oh, if the ratings are amazing, maybe we will consider carrying this on. So the ratings have been amazing, and
considering carrying it on.
But it's, I guess, everybody's schedules. You know, David and Jillian have other series and other commitments and stuff.
So
like that.
After another 13 years, we'll even get a few more episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Just whenever there's a break in their schedule, we'll just jam in a couple more shows. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Dean, for coming to talk about it.
It's a pleasure, man. And I'll be also performing in Newtown. For those who didn't get enough X-Files, I'll be improvising episodes of the X-Files every Monday at the old 505 Theater.
At the old 505, excellent. Yeah. I'll put details about that up on the site.
Absolutely. And it's pay per laughs. So if you don't laugh, you don't pay.
That sounds excellent. Thanks so much, Dean.
You bet. Take care.